Hello, everyone. Thanks for being here. Sifu Sylvain with you. Really appreciate your participating in these videos and podcasts. As you know, all these videos are stripped of their audio, and the audio is available as the Buddhahood Podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. So, today we're going to read a letter from Nichiren, another letter that is, well, a letter of thanks, but he always uses these opportunities as teaching moments. And this is to a lay nun, somebody like you and I, who's teaching others about or facilitating their path to the Lotus Sutra practice. And her name is Shinichi, and she and her husband live on Sado Island. And when Nichiren was pardoned and came back to the mainland and went to Kamakura, he then left Kamakura, the capital area, and moved all the way north to Mount Minobu, a rather difficult passage, but still on the mainland. And at Shinichi's direction, her husband made the trip across the sea from Sado to Japan to Mount Minobu at least three times, probably more, to bring Nichiren sustenance, supplies, that kind of thing. And as we've already discussed, these offerings, although certainly supportive of Nichiren's life as a man, as a human being, are really made in the spirit of keeping alive his doctrine, his teaching, his sangha of Lotus Sutra practice. For some reason, the incense are getting in my throat today. The last couple of days, I missed making a video yesterday, and I don't know, these are so much a part of my daily practice now that I could feel that I hadn't done it. I've been under the weather, and I'm doing fine now. I'm recovering, but anyway, back to Nichiren, because that's what we're here for. Yeah, so he takes this opportunity to thank her and uses her offerings through her husband and her husband's offerings to point out evidence in the sutra, in Shakyamuni's own words, the rewards, the merit of doing such an act. So here we go. He starts out with, "I have received 1,000 blue duck coins, one toe of dried rice, and other articles. The boy Virtue Victorious, who offered a mud pie to the Buddha, was reborn as King Ashoka, and an old woman who offered the Buddha rice, gruel, was reborn as a Pratyeka Buddha." So this is to signify the great gesture of making these offerings to the Lotus Sutra through keeping Nichiren alive and giving him sustenance, because he is the voice of the Lotus Sutra. "The Lotus Sutra is the teacher of all the Buddhas of the Ten Directions and the Three Existences. The Buddhas of the Ten Directions are the Buddha Good Virtue in the East, the Buddha Sorrow Dispelling Virtue in the Southeast, the Buddha Sandalwood Virtue in the South, the Buddha Giver of Treasure in the Southwest, the Buddha Infinite Brightness in the West, the Buddha Flower Virtue in the Northwest, and the Buddha Banner-like Virtue in the North, the Buddha Three Vehicle Practice in the Northeast, the Buddha Vast Myriad Virtue of the Zenith, and the Buddha Brilliant Virtue of the Nadir." And that is, when you go around all these points of the compass, you also have to go up and down. And that's the zenith and the nadir. So that's the 10 directions, right? These are all identified, by the way, in the Avatamsaka, or the first teachings of Shakyamuni, the Kigon Sutra in Japanese, or the Flower Garland Sutra. "The Buddhas of the Three Existences are the 1,000 Buddhas of the past glorious Kalpa, the 1,000 Buddhas of the past present wise Kalpa, and the 1,000 Buddhas of the future constellation Kalpa, as well as All the other Buddhas depicted in Mahayana and Hinayana, provisional and true and exoteric, including the Flower Garland Sutra and Nirvana Sutras. Basically bookends of all the teachings, right? These Buddhas, as well as the Buddha Bodhisattvas in the worlds of the Ten Directions, who are as numerous as particles of dust, all originate from the single character Myo, or wonderful, of the Lotus Sutra Myoho Renge Kyo. So take note, all of you who still have questions about the meaning of these, what in the West we call words, but truly are conceptual bags of information, compartmentalized dharma, if you will. So when we chant Namu Myoho Renge Kyo, really, I apologize for my throat. What the heck is going on? Let's see if that helps a little bit. All right. So we are chanting, invoking, intoning entire branches of Shakyamuni's teachings, which are themselves the teachings of instantiation of Buddha mind life condition. So they're not just fancy words, they're not just elementary words, they're really not words at all. They're sounds encapsulated in a character, which is a translation of combinations of Nichiren used a script that he himself was personalizing. These aren't just, you can't just go to a Chinese dictionary and go, there's that character, there's that character, there's going to be very much similarities. But the way they're combined, the way they looped and run into each other, the stylization of those characters are an indication by Nichiren that these are representations of areas of concept that link together to awaken this Dharma, to awaken our Buddha nature in this human form. So it's really kind of complex, and the more you study, the more you get these little hints of how these characters work. And here he is talking about all these various Buddhas and all these various Bodhisattvas, which themselves are personages and idealized stories of aspects of the mind, aspect of being, right? So it's like in the West when we read Aesop's fable, if I tell you Sleeping Beauty, or if I tell you Hansel and Gretel, or I tell you, what's a good one? The story, well, that's an Eastern one, the one of the turtle and the scorpion, or sometimes it's the frog and the scorpion, it varies. These are our teaching conceptual ideas through a story, right? So if you think what he's just said is Myo, or wonderful, of the Lotus Sutra, Myoho Renge Kyo. So Myo is this wondrous conceptual mind that isn't earthbound, right? Because all these Buddhas, all these innumerable bodhisattvas, which are us, but they're us not as Bob, Ted, Alice, Sylvain. They're us as our mental capacity. See, that's kind of unglued from body. We keep going over this lately, the body-mind thing. But it's worth reminding you that when we chant, we're not chanting bodily ideas like words. We're chanting conceptual ideas of the mind, the ways we use the mind, and the way that mind influences the body. Always keep that in mind. So here we get a big hint. All this conceptualization of the Dharma is a mental exercise, which is represented by the character Myo. Ho is the realization of Myo. I don't know if you'll touch on that here. But you can move through the whole Daimoku that way. And believe me, if you want to start your study based on that, you will touch every area, every sutra, every aspect of Buddhism, because that's what it is. All right, let's continue. Therefore, he goes on, the Universal Worthy Sutra, the epilogue to the Lotus Sutra, says, quote, a Buddhist three types of bodies are born from this correct and equal sutra. So this is the mind produces the body. The term correct and equal derives from an Indian word and was translated in China as great vehicle. Do you see that he's even talking about the translation difficulty, right? Great vehicle, or Mahayana, is another name for the Lotus Sutra. The Agama Sutras, when compared with non-Buddhist scriptures, are regarded as Mahayana Sutras, or Sutras of the Great Vehicle. So this is where even the terminology gets slippery, because when you look at one, the Great Vehicle Sutra is the Lotus Sutra. Within our Buddhist scholarship, we know this. But to non-Buddhists, they look upon Buddhism as two or three divisions, either the Tripitaka, the Hinayana, the Theravada is really kind of a high-end Hinayana with some lower or early Mahayana texts slipped into it. Some might include that in the Tripitaka. And then the greater vehicle, or great vehicle, being the entirety of Mahayana from early to culminating, ultimate. They don't divide any further than that. But as Buddhists, we understand that there is only one great vehicle sutra, and that is the Lotus Sutra. It says so in the Lotus Sutra. Okay? It's hard when you're talking to people that don't know Buddhism. They have a false impression of Buddhas or Buddhists as pacifists, as vegetarian, as cloistered, hidden in monasteries, and as two types. If even that, if they have that much of a distinction, they know something of Buddhism. They'll divide it into the small vehicle and the large vehicle, or the early, the Hinayana and the Mahayana. But that's somebody who's actually been exposed to a little bit of propaganda. It takes somebody who actually enters into the path of Buddhism to start deciphering these many different levels, even the five periods of division of the teachings of Shakyamuni. That's something they're completely unaware of. Shonichiren is reminding Shinichi and her husband here of the way that these the Myo character and certainly the teachings of Buddhism are very clearly separated for somebody who's endeavoring to study Buddhism, right? Similarly, the Flower Garland, Wisdom, Mahavacharana, and other sutras, when compared with the Agama Sutras, are defined as Mahayana Sutras, but they in turn fall within the category of Hinayana Sutras, or Sutras of the Lesser Vehicle, when compared with the Lotus Sutra. As no sutra surpasses the Lotus, it is the one and only Mahayana Sutra. So that would come as a great shock to non-Buddhists, and actually comes as a great shock to many Buddhist schools outside of the Lotus Sutra. Right? Isn't this human nature? Right? It happens in religions and churches. We have people in our, I live in Mississippi. There's Christianity everywhere. And yet, even though there's a church steeple on almost every quarter mile, every block, I still meet people who say, oh, which church do you go to? Don't go to theirs. Ours is the only true church. Well, don't you all sing and chant and practice the same religion? No, yeah, but ours is better. Ours is the true one. It boggles the mind. But this is not the case when we're discussing this in Buddhism. Nichiren is claiming that the Lotus Sutra is the ultimate sutra. Shakyamuni, when he orated all of these teachings, said repeatedly, and it's transcribed into documents, that the Lotus Sutra is his ultimate, his claiming, what he wanted to teach in the first place, but people's capacity weren't able to understand what he was talking about. So he schooled them up in their capacity so that finally with the Lotus, he could express what he'd been trying to teach all along. And as Nichiren points out, the drop the mic moment was in the lifespan of the Tathagata chapter, where he really just goes, okay, this is yours. It's already there. It's up to you to instantiate it. Just as I've shown you through all these years of teachings, use them as reference if you need to, but ultimately this is where you're going to get, and this is how it works. Get your mind aligned with Myoho Rengekyo, and you will enliven that Buddha consciousness, that Buddha state of mind. And that's the whole program. It's not like it's an interpretation or a discovery or a great revelation of Nichiren's. Nichiren's import is phenomenal for us living in this period of time, which Shakyamuni already defined almost 3,000 years ago. It's no accident. Okay? You can't say that about any other, any religion, you certainly can't. They're constantly reinterpreting and making up stuff and anything. It's all magical. There's nothing concrete, observable in religions. They're all based on feelings, emotions, dogma, repetition. They're not based on actual proof. Buddhism is an observable, and almost a science of the mind. I'm not afraid to say that because that's the way it operates. Any one of you who's challenged to practice this practice for 3 months just to see if it works or not, you're going to know it works or not based on the results that you personally get, right? No magic. There's no trickery here. This is just, it's in your own capacity, your own mind, to perceive the world in a new way. And that new way is absolutely clear, and that clarity improves your life. What is often called happiness, but that word is, it's so loaded. I don't like to use it. I would rather do as Nichiren taught and as Shakyamuni himself taught. This is an absolute clarity, an understanding and an observation of the actual forces that are manifesting this samsaric life. That's incalculable. To be able to appreciate, love this flow of energy that you are experiencing as an Edith or a Tom or a John or a Sylvain, or to actually be in it while observing its formation. How amazing is that? When you see that, when you understand that, when you were in that life condition, is there anything more profound? Is that not something, our experience, that we live for, by? Without experience, what would this life be? A stone? Does a stone know itself? Even plants, the way they pollinate one another with the help of bees or what have you. Like avocado trees, there are male and female avocado trees, and if they're not both types, they won't bear fruit. This drama is going on constantly around us, although that is an infinitely simpler thing, there's evidence of it. We are far more complex than that. And yet, very simply, we do the same thing. The mind opens not only to possibility and probability, but simply understanding clearly. The question is, why am I here? Who am I? What am I supposed to be doing with my life? What's going on here? Buddhahood answers all of that because it becomes obvious. Who wouldn't want that state of mind? Who wouldn't want to end doubt in one's life? It's a cancer. It makes us tired. It makes us sad. It makes us suffer. How do we end suffering? By ceasing what forms the suffering. And in Buddhism, what forms the suffering is ignorance. Ignorance doesn't mean stupid. It means you just don't know. Chanting Namu Myo Renge Kyo opens up to the knowing. So who doesn't want to know? Right? So let's go a little further here. What time is it? Okay. To illustrate, Nichiren continues, each ruler of the 84,000 countries in the southern continent of Jambudvipa is called a great king within his country. But when compared with a wheel-turning king, he is called a minor king. In like manner, each of the kings of the six heavens of the world of desire and of the four meditation heavens may be called either a great king or a minor king, depending on whom he is compared with. But the great heavenly king, Brahma, who resides at the top of the world of form, is the one great ruler who can never be called a minor king. Now, Brahma is a holdover, right? I mean, the Vedic texts go back to the last ice age. I've seen documents where they're dated back to almost 12,000 years BC. It's hard to find a philosophy of any sort that predates that, right? Even Egyptian. And when we go through what happened with Brahmanism, they defined with the Vedic scriptures or texts, Brahma being this fundamental force, this fundamental origin of all cosmic energy. This is something that the Egyptians would later call Ra, right? And now Westerners, Christians specifically, have invaded every country on earth. And so when we learn about Egyptology, we learn about these many gods that they have. But they didn't think of them as gods. They thought of them as cosmic forces. And I like that because just from my own exposure and study in physics and chemistry, the ideas of quantum theory and mechanics, and now quantum gravity, quantum fields from which everything is manifest from, starts to sound more comfortably, more aligned with what Shakyamuni Buddha taught almost 3,000 years ago. It's almost the same thing. They just have a different language and they're stuck on the physical side of things. But as Buddhists, we understand that the physical side of things is manifest from the non-physical side of things. Just like that genius Einstein knew. E, energy, equals mass times the speed of light squared. So energy is equivalent to mass. And now they have all kinds of experiments with the Large Hadron Collider and other things in the maths demonstrate that there are masses that go in and out of existence. They manifest, they demanifest. Oh, I hope I don't lose you here. Okay, hopefully we'll be all right there. Let's do this. So I can find this in the video and edit it out. Okay, we're back. All right, so I'm going off topic here. Let me get back to this letter. Are we still moving? Okay. A Buddha is a child, and the Lotus Sutra, its parents. Interesting. Not heard that one before. But that makes sense because our Buddhahood is born of our effort. toward enlightenment, right? Our Buddha is invoked through our practice of Myoho Rengekyo. So therefore, Myoho Rengekyo is the parent. Perfect sense. If the parents of 1,000 children are praised, those 1,000 children will rejoice. If one makes offerings to the parents, one makes offerings to their 1,000 children as well. So again, this is aligning this lay nun's thinking with her own parental responsibilities, essence, right? Women are the childbearers, right? So she understands this analogy. By offering things to not me, Nichiren, but for Nichiren to continue to propagate Myoho Rengekyo, you are essentially making this offering to the parent of all Buddhas, your Buddha, and therefore to the children of all those Buddhas. So you are ensuring enlightenment to your own children when you offer to the Lotus Sutra. Do you see? To those who make offerings to the Lotus Sutra will receive the same benefit as they would by making offerings to all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas in the 10 directions, because all the Buddhas of the 10 directions originate from the single character Myo. This is why it's so wonderful. Amazing, right? Suppose a lion has 100 cubs. When the Lion King sees its cubs attacked by other beasts or birds of prey, he roars. The 100 cubs will then feel emboldened, and the heads of those other beasts and birds of prey will be split into 7 pieces. The Lotus Sutra is like the Lion King, who rules over all other animals. A woman who embraces the Lion King of the Lotus Sutra never fears any of the beasts of hell or of the realms of hungry spirits and animals. All the offenses committed by a woman in her lifetime are like dry grass, and the single character Myo of the Lotus Sutra is like a small spark. When a small spark is set to a large expanse of grass, not only the grass, but also the big trees and large stones will all be consumed. Such is the power of the fire of wisdom in the single character Myo. Give yourself time to imagine that, visualize that. Not only will all offenses vanish, but they will become sources of benefit, reward. This is what changing poison into amrita, or strong health, or medicine, means. Right? Hendoku yaku, I believe that's what it is. Changing poison into medicine. For example, black lacquer will turn white when white powder is added. A woman's offenses are like the lacquer, and the words Namu Myoho Rengekyo like the white powder. So this is describing how chanting actually works in your daily life, as in samsara, as a human. That's why oftentimes you hear this, it cleanses karma. Well, what is karma? We know karma is energy that just is what's the word? Inertia. It's the momentum of our life. This energy is instantiating over and over and over and over and over again. How do we influence it? How do we put it at bay without dying, of course? But basically, we're not killing it. We're not getting rid of it. We're getting rid of the formations from that energy of anchors that keep us attached and therefore suffering. We allow that flow of energy. It is our life. It is our ability to instantiate a mind of Buddha, of perception, that is not enmired by some of the instantiations in mass, in matter, from that ball of energy, that kinetic summation of energies of which we humans are instantiated. When one dies, if one is destined to fall into hell, one's appearance will darken. and one's body will become as heavy as a stone that requires the strength of 1,000 men to move. But in the case of a good person, even if she should be a woman 7 or 8 feet tall and of dark complexion, at the hour of death her countenance will become pure and white, and her body will be as light as a goose feather and as soft and pliable as cotton. Now, I've heard many stories of fellow Buddhists who've watched a relative die in hospital, and my sister included, by the way, who I chanted to while she was dying of leukemia. At first, she looked horrible. And I chanted and I told her, finally, I took her little hand into mine. Her fingers were touching the palm of my hand. I don't know why I'm telling you this now. Anyway, I have to finish it now. And I looked at her with the oxygen mask on and everything, looking kind of greenish. And I watched her take her little breaths, little humidity coming into the gas mask. And I said, I love you. Something we didn't say very often in our samsaric life as brother and sister. And moments after I said that, I felt this just deep, hard, electrical kind of jolt through the palm of my hand, went through my whole body, took my breath away. And I looked at my sister, and she was pink. And her mouth was kind of relaxed. Not a smile, but just a relaxed kind of calm. The change of color blew my mind. And I just went back against the wall, away from the bed. And I just was focused on gaining some kind of control over my breath. I was breathing, but I felt, it's indescribable. Anyway. There's something about lifting our suffering that our practice of Namo Myoho Renge Kyo at the time of death releases this energy, this momentum of kinetics. And instead of keeping the body, it releases the body. That's my visualization of it, but there is a difference. When a Buddhist dies, there is a calm knowingness about that death that is just as finite, but ends in a much more, released way? So that energy is now dissipated as a positive energy, or at very least liberated from its formations of suffering. Formations of attachment. It's something hard to talk about. I probably shouldn't have brought it up here, but if you can visualize that, then maybe that's why I brought it up. Maybe some of you needed to hear that story. Maybe I did. I haven't told it very much or often. It is 1,000 ri across the sea and mountains from Sado province to this province. You, as a woman, have held fast to your resolute mind and conviction in the Lotus Sutra, and over the years, you've repeatedly sent your husband here to visit me in your place. Surely the Lotus Sutra, Shakyamuni, many treasures, and the Buddhas of the 10 directions know of your devotion. For example, though the moon is 40,000 yohanas high in the heavens, its reflection appears instantly in a pond on earth. And the sound of the drum at the gate of thunder is immediately heard 1,000, 10,000 ri in the distance. Though you remain in Sado, your heart has come to this province. The way of attaining Buddhahood is just like this. Though we live in the impure land, samsara, our hearts reside in the pure land of Eagle Peak. That's always a reference to the ceremony that is described in the Lotus Sutra, right? Which is a description of our efforts toward Myoho Renge Kyo, our practice. Merely seeing each other's face would in itself be insignificant. It is the heart that is important. Someday, let us meet at Eagle Peak, where Shakyamuni Buddha dwells, Namu Myo Renge Kyo, Namu Myo Ho Renge Kyo. Now understand, when Asian documents talk about heart, they conflate, especially in China, there's a concept called, I believe it's Shen. It's the mind heart. It's that bridge between perception and physical being. Something we're always negotiating and talking about in Buddhism. Again, the land at Eagle Peak is our samsaric instantiation of something far loftier that we can only experience in mind and influence this package of inertia and momentum, this samsaric reality. This is quite a little go show. Our next go show, General Stone Tiger. That should be interesting. These titles, I never know quite what to think about them. I guess I'm more of a literalist. An odd thing to say, perhaps. Namu Myo Renge Kyo. Thank you again. I appreciate your participation so much. Join this channel. You know the whole spiel with YouTube, the notifications, ring that bell, blah, 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 blah. My interest is that you study. If not through these videos, through the podcast. They may be much easier for you to listen to and convenient for your active daily life, or as a reinforcement for these videos. I just appreciate and proud I am of your dedication to your Buddha mind. I want to support that any way I can. Let me know in the comments if there's something you need help with or don't understand. Use my email, tlksylvain@gmail.com. Let me know what you're going through. Let me know how I can help. Let me know if there's something that I haven't covered. And don't forget to use that search in this channel, you know, that little submenu up there that has the about and videos and playlists. Use the playlist, because I have an entire playlist on Lotus lectures where I take every single chapter of the Lotus Sutra and go through it. So there are a lot of tools on this channel that you can use. And if you're not sure where to look, use that search and put in there Daimoku or chanting or Myoho Renge Kyo or Gohanzen or Gangyo or whatever concept it is that you're looking for, and the result will be a set of videos where that is either in the title, so you know it's strictly about that, or nothing strictly with me, right, or in the general description. It will help lead you around, because there's a ton of videos here, so use this as a reference tool too, okay? And I will talk to you soon in the next one. Thank you so much again. And take care of your health. Be smart and kind.